Three more things and we're in great shape.
Leia turns to him. Worry is etched in lines above her nose, and her eyebrows are arched. The sooner we go, the better. Something's wrong here. Where's C-3PO? I haven't seen him for hours, and no one can tell me anything. Han takes Leia by the shoulders. He gives her his best roguish smile.
Relax. I'll talk to Lando, see what I can figure out.
Leia shakes her head. I don't trust him.
Me neither,
Han laughs.
But he is my friend. And besides, we'll be gone soon.
The doors to the apartment open again. Chewbacca enters, carrying a box full of golden parts. An arm sticks forlornly up from the junk. The Wookiee roars. What happened? Leia cries, running to him.
What?
Han exclaims.
You found him in a junk room? They were gonna incinerate him?
Leia looks desperately at the golden droid's broken pieces. Can he be fixed?
Lando's got the men.
At exactly the same time, Leia and Chewie say, No! And...
Okay.
Han raises his arms.
Do it yourself, then.
Chewbacca lowers himself onto a plush footstool, setting the box of droid parts before him. He gazes into it miserably. Again, the doors slide open. This time, it is the suave, smiling Lando Calrissian. He sweeps into the room, his cape swishing behind him like he's some wealthy, complacent superhero.
Princess,
he exclaims. He approaches her, takes her hand, and kisses it.
You look radiant. You really do belong with us, here above the clouds.
Han rolls his eyes.
Would you care to join me for a little refreshment?
Lando continues, gazing into Leia's face. She returns the stare coolly, and then looks to Han.
Oh, you're all invited,
Lando adds. Han nods. Leia reclaims her hand. Just then, Lando notices Chewbacca, who is holding C-3PO's head in his great paws.
Having a little trouble with your droid?
No,
Han replies, brushing past him.
No trouble. Why?
Lando shrugs and follows Han into the corridor. As they walk through the glittering halls, Lando talks business.
You see, we've been a small enough operation not to fall under the, jurisdiction of the Empire, you might say.
Leia is ignoring him. She scans each door and corridor for signs of something wrong. All seems normal. Even this worries her. Han is only half listening to his old friend.
You're not afraid the Empire will find out?
I will. Not anymore.
They are approaching the dining room.
You see, we've recently made a deal that'll keep us in business for a good long time.
Han nods. Lando opens the formal dining room's bright white door. Han and Leia enter and stop. Standing at the head of a long, glittering dining table is Darth Vader. Lesson Upsilon, the beginning of the end. Now, my young pupil, we are coming to the most difficult tests, the final ones. Succeed in these, and you will not be a Jedi. Not yet. But you will know that you can be, that you are truly walking the path. Think of someone or something that infuriates you. Not a pet peeve, like someone peeing on a toilet seat. Oh, that does make me want to take a lightsaber to the entire bathroom. Think of a time when you felt really hurt by something someone did or said. Or think about something that strikes you as so deeply unfair, it is almost unbearable. Let your mind explore those feelings. Your anger, your rage, your humiliation. When I say go, I want you to stand and balance a book on your head. Close your eyes. Get someone to throw things at you again. As they do, raise your hands. If you can block the objects, good. If not, that's okay too. As you balance that book and sense the objects, I want you to spell your name backward. And then the city you live in. And then the state. And then the country. Keep blocking the objects. And as you do all this, let the anger, the rage that you are feeling, just pass away. Let it lift from you so you are standing straight and tall and calm. If you are doing it right, you may even start to smile. Despite the objects being thrown at you, and the book on your head, and the angry thoughts that had been exploding through your synapses just moments ago, why do you smile? Because it is pleasurable to be at peace. Go. Chapter 25. Han has never known such pain. It rushes through his body in waves, burning his calves, lacerating his thighs, making his stomach churn as if it's being blended, straining his spine and neck until he's certain they will snap, and then filling his head with such a pressure, such a terrible building pressure, that he decides with what little consciousness he has left that the rest was merely a prelude, and that the real intention of all this has been to make his head explode. Suddenly, the pain stops. Han gasps for breath. Every cubic millimeter of his body throbs, throbs, throbs. Now come the questions, he thinks. He waits. He can hear Vader breathing somewhere in the room. He must have been screaming because his ears are ringing and his throat feels as if it's been shredded.
I'll talk,
Han wants to say.
Just ask me, and I'll tell you.
He never thought he would be the one to spill the Rebellion's secrets, but he's never felt pain like this. There are no questions, though. Suddenly, the burning begins in his calves again, making its way up his thighs.
No! He screams. Please!
Lando is waiting outside the door when Vader leaves the room.
You said you wouldn't hurt him.
Vader sweeps by the old card sharp to where Boba Fett, the bounty hunter, is waiting.
Once I have Skywalker,
Vader intones, his voice a gentle tapping on the galaxy's largest, deepest gong,
you may take him to Jabba the Hutt.
Hey! Lando interjects. That wasn't what we agreed.
Vader turns slowly, his cape rustling.
Perhaps,
he says,
you like to renegotiate the agreement.
Lando's skin is suddenly cold, and his stomach feels like it's being dangled off a bridge. He manages to stammer,
no.
Good.
Vader starts for the door.
Meet me in the carbon freezing chamber in 1/2 hour.
Boba Fett follows him down the corridor.
This deal gets worse every second,
Lando mutters. He follows Vader into the corridor, but then turns left when Vader goes straight. He is hurrying down the shining halls, cursing every gratuitous piece of silver on every gratuitous window.
It's all gratuitous, Lando thinks. Pointless. Worthless. What have I done?
He comes to a door at the end of a hallway and punches a security code into a pad on the wall. When the door slides open, Lando sees Leia crouched over Han, who looks like a broken doll, while Chewbacca works on reassembling C-3PO. Han is whimpering.
I didn't even ask me anything.
He seems more than half dead. Leia looks only a little better. When they catch sight of Lando, Han attempts to rise.
Why, you...
Save it!
Lando snaps.
No time. Look, Vader's agreed to turn Chewie and Leia over to me. They'll have to stay here, but at least they'll be safe.
And Han?
Leia asks, glaring steadily at Lando.
Vader's given him to the bounty hunter.
Han groans.
Then I am dead.
He wants us all dead,
Leia adds. But Lando shakes his head.
He doesn't want you at all. He wants someone else, someone called Skywalker.
Leia closes her eyes, as if somehow she has known all along.
Vader set a trap for him.
Of course, Leia moans. And we're the bait.
This Skywalker is apparently already on his way.
Han staggers to his feet, holding on to Leia and Lando for support.
Well, you fixed us pretty good, pal.
I'm sorry.
Lando is arrested mid-thought by a vicious left hook to the jaw. He falls. Han falls on top of him, still swinging. Lando hits Han in the mouth with an elbow.
Stop!
C-3PO cries. His head has been reattached to his body. Backward.
Oh, stop that! You won't solve anything that way!
Chewie drops the droid and helps Leia tug the two men apart. The former friends stare at one another, gasping.
I've done all I can, Lando heaves. I'm sorry. I've got my own problems.
Han wipes blood from his mouth.
Yeah, you're a real hero, businessman.
The word stings Lando like a swarm of Ratatacky and Red Jackets. He rises and limps from the cell like a whipped dog. Han lowers himself gingerly onto a crate. Leia comes to his side, half smiling.
Well, she says, I must admit, you certainly have a way with people.
The chamber is dark, like a great cave. Somewhere, a massive machine hums. Red lights blink along the walls of the room, while the floor glows a pulsating royal blue. At the chamber's center, there is a pit. Cool carbon gas seeps up from it, seeping into the corners and crevices of hulking industrial equipment. Darth Vader is inspecting the pit. Boba Fett stands to his left. Lando is hanging back.
I want Skywalker led in here,
Vader intones, his voice somehow even grander and more sinister in the cavernous steel room.
We will freeze him for transport back to the Emperor.
Lord Vader, Lando says, we only use this for carbon freezing. If you put this Skywalker in there, it might kill him.
Vader exhales. He is thinking. At last he says,
I do not want the Emperor's prize damaged. We will test it on Captain Solo.
Vader raises a hand, and four stormtroopers rush out into the corridor to retrieve the space pirate. Vader's fingers begin to explore the controls of the freezing unit, like a surgeon laying out his knives and scalpels. Carbon gas seeps into the room. Lando shivers. A moment later, the stormtroopers reappear, flanking Han, Leia, and Chewbacca with a partially assembled C-3PO strapped to the Wookiee's back. C-3PO is shouting,
Turn around, you overgrown mop! I can't see a thing! How can I help if I can't see?
When Han glimpses Lando, he sneers.
Hey, buddy. What's the party for?
The group of prisoners is led to the edge of the pit. Lando looks grim.
You're being put into carbon freeze.
What if he doesn't survive?
Boba Fett suddenly objects.
He's worth a lot to me.
Vader is not interested.
The Empire will compensate you if he dies. Put him in.
His fingers are now flying over the controls of the carbon freezing unit. Chewbacca swings his great arms, knocking two stormtroopers senseless. Two more leap onto him, while a third trains his blaster on the Wookiee's chest.
Oh, stop! Stop!
Save it, Chewie!
Han shouts. He puts an arm on his huge, hairy first mate.
Listen, I need you to keep your head. You gotta look out for Leia, okay? Don't get killed. I'll be okay.
Han says. He does not sound confident. Chewie howls again. I don't know what that means. Han turns to Leia. Before he knows what's happening, she's kissing him. Then she whispers, I love you. He smiles his crooked smile and winks.
I know.
Suddenly, Han is wrenched backward by stormtroopers. Chewbacca is howling. Leia is choking back tears. C-3PO is explaining the odds of Han's survival. No one is listening to C-3PO. The stormtroopers thrust the limp, exhausted space pirate onto the platform, which begins to descend slowly. Leia is about to be sick. She can't take it. She feels like her insides are being torn apart by Alderaanian wolf cats. She rushes to the edge of the freezing chamber, but a blast of carbon gas shoots up into her face, casting her back. Vader himself is operating the controls. Chewie roars again. Leia hides her eyes.
Don't worry,
C-3PO chirps.
He should be quite well protected by the carbonite. If, that is, he survives the freezing process, which I've concluded stands at a 453 to...
More steam. Then a cascade of liquid carbonite, illuminated by a million sparks. They reflect off of Vader's impassive black mask. The process ends. With a shuddering creak, two great tongs are lowered into the pit. Up from the gloom, they draw a metal rectangle, frozen carbonite. Han Solo's face protrudes from its surface, locked in a scream of agony. Leia looks, and then hides her face again. Chewbacca starts to make a rush for Han, but the muzzle of a blaster reminds him to stay put. Lando has moved to Han's side, where an electronic readout is registering on a small screen.
He's okay,
Lando announces.
He's hibernating. He's fine.
He's all yours, Bounty Hunter,
Vader replies.
Reset the chamber for Skywalker.
To the Stormtrooper Commander, he says,
take the Princess and the Wookiee to my ship.
Lando objects.
You said they'd be left with me.
I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. Now leave me. Skywalker has arrived. I can sense it.
Lesson 5. Fear itself. What are you afraid of? Don't tell me. Don't say it out loud. I have a policy about that. If you tell someone what you're most afraid of, then one day it might be used against you somehow. Just think about it. What truly scares you? Close your eyes. Ask someone to time you or set a timer for 30 seconds. Imagine that terrifying thing. Really imagine it. Picture it before you. Convince yourself that it is happening. Once the time is up, reset the timer or have your assistant count again. This time, close your eyes, breathe, and smile. Fear is in your mind. It cannot hurt you. It has been said that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. This is true. You are a part of the Force. What is the worst that can happen to you? You are hurt? You are sick? You pass away? When those things happen, you are merely changing forms, becoming something new. The Force is with you, and you are with the Force. You and the Force are one. Chapter 26. You steer your X-Wing through the pink Pacific clouds of Bespin. R2-D2 beeps a question at you. You can barely hear him. Before your eyes are your best friends, screaming in pain, writhing under needles and blades, barking with fear and whimpering in horror. R2 asks the question again. C-3PO is with them, you respond. I can sense it. Your X-Wing settles on a deserted landing pad. After scoping it out to ensure there will be no unpleasant surprises, you help R2 down from his perch at the back of the ship. You consider leaving him behind for his own safety, but he's a brave little droid, and he could come in handy. Indeed, you haven't gone 3 meters when you reach the door to the landing pad and find that it refuses to open. R2 extends his interface arm and inserts it in the universal computer communication port. You wait. Han and Leia are no longer screaming in your head. Rather, they are silent. Eerily, frighteningly silent. Your palms sweat, and your legs quiver. You try to calm yourself. Fear, you know, is your greatest enemy. fear leads to the dark side. And yet you cannot control the cold sweat beating on the back of your neck. With a hiss, the door slides open. You sidle into the glassy hallway. The floor shines as your feet sidestep their way down its length. Your back remains in contact with the white wall as you move. Your lightsaber dangles at your side. You'll save that for Vader. You unholster your blaster. Who is here? Suddenly you sense it. It feels like someone has walked into a room where you've been sleeping. You sense him and wake. His presence is like Ben's once was, except inverted. Every feeling you had for your teacher, your mentor, the closest thing you ever had to a father, is flipped. Love is hatred. Peace is fear. The cold sweat has spread, crawling down your back and up your scalp. Vader, who killed Ben. Vader, who killed your father before that. Here, waiting for you. And then, as you look around a corner, you see them. Leia and Chewbacca, with C-3PO tied in pieces to Chewie's back. They are being led by a powerful-looking man with a pencil-thin mustache and a cape, and are surrounded by stormtroopers. Behind the stormtroopers marches a platoon of mining colony security guards. They are all armed. Chewie must have smelled you. He looks in your direction and howls. Not a good plan. A hail of laser fire explodes all around you. You duck behind the corner. R2, hiding in your shadow, is beeping and worried. You lean out and fire a few laser blasts before ducking back behind the wall. You are breathing hard, but you are surprised to realize none of this scares you. Still, you need to be careful. You don't want to hit the princess. Leia screams, "Luke! Luke!" You pop around the wall again. Aiming a blaster feels different than it used to. You don't have to aim so much. You can feel where the stormtroopers are, as if you were reaching into a box blindfolded and feeling the difference between socks and knives. You fire at the knives. They begin to fall. "Luke!" Leia screams again. "It's a trap! A trap!" As soon as the words are out, Leia is picked up and hurried down the hall. "Go back! It's a..." Doors close, and she, Chewbacca, and C-3PO are gone. You know it's a trap. You've known since Dagobah. And now that you're here, you know you didn't come to save Leia and Han. If you save them, that will be no more than a side effect. You came here because Vader is here. You realize it now. He called you to face him. And you will. Lando leads the stormtroopers away from their melee with Skywalker, striding far out ahead. He's pressing some buttons on a wristband without slowing his pace. In another wing of the colony, his bald manservant's headset lights up. The man's eyes fly open. He presses a button by his temple in rapid, silent code. Suddenly, the stormtroopers aren't following Lando anymore. He feels it. He turns. He smiles. The stormtroopers' hands are in the air, and the platoon of security guards are aiming blasters at their heads.
"Take them away," Lando orders the security guards.
The stormtroopers are led to a nearby holding cell. Lando turns to Leia.
"Come on, princess," he says. "Let's get to the east platform. It's not too late to..."
Lando's words are choked off by two enormous paws.
"Chewbacca!"
C-3PO cries, trying to see from his position on the Wookiee's back.
"What are you doing?"
The great Chewbacca is choking Lando. That's what he's doing. He's pushing the gambler down to his knees, squeezing the air from his windpipe.
"Had no choice,"
Lando gasps. Chewbacca squeezes harder. "Oh, we understand," Leia says, bending over him. "You had no choice."
"Ha, ha, ha. Chewbacca! Trust him! Trust him!
C-3PO is crying. Leia suddenly lays her hand on Chewie's arm. Wait! I think he's saying Han! Chewbacca loosens his grip a little. Lando gasps with relief.
It's not too late to save Han. Bounty Hunter, east platform.
Chewbacca lets him fall. Lando is sucking in air.
That way!
He points. Chewbacca and Leia stoop to pick up the blasters that the stormtroopers dropped, and then they hurry down the shining corridor. C-3PO calls back.
I'm terribly sorry about all this. He's just a Wookiee, you know.
Lando drags himself to his feet, grabs a blaster for himself, and follows them, limping and gasping. They haven't gone far when C-3PO sees a familiar form emerging from a doorway.
R2! R2!
Leia stops, turns, and runs back to the little service droid. Chewbacca follows her.
Oh, turn around!
C-3PO shouts at him.
Please! Oh, you big stupid rug!
Leia bends down to talk to R2-D2. Where's Luke? She demands. R2 beeps madly. Lando has just caught up. He's panting.
He's gone into the freezing chamber.
C-3PO translates, still flailing and looking in the wrong direction.
Oh, R2, how could you have left him alone?
Lando says,
If we're gonna save Han, this Skywalker will have to fend for himself.
He looks at the princess. Leia hesitates. She squeezes her knuckles with her fingers until her hands have gone white. She is choosing between a pile of diamonds and a pile of gold, and she doesn't know which is which. Finally, she says, If Luke's in there with Vader, we couldn't help him anyway. Her voice is trembling. Let's go get Han. The small party, now joined by R2-D2, hurries for the east platform. The door is sealed, and Lando's mad punching of numbers into a keypad yields no results. He curses.
They've changed the security codes.
But R2-D2 has already begun interfacing with the communication port. Within moments, the door slides open. Lando, Leia, and Chewbacca rush through. R2 rolls after them, beeping at C-3PO.
What do I care about the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon?
The golden droid snaps at him, bouncing up and down with each of Chewbacca's enormous strides.
We're trying to save Master Han. And what do I always tell you about interfacing with strange computers? You can catch something. Who knows what that computer's been interfacing with recently? Did you even ask?
As the group emerges into the pink atmosphere of Bespin, they see Boba Fett disappearing into his small, rusty ship, and the hatch swing closed. Lando lets loose a ferocious volley of blaster fire. They all do. No use. They ricochet harmlessly off the spacecraft, like laser balls in one of those laser pinball machines on Melchior 5. Lando, Chewbacca, and Leia stand on the landing pad, furious but impotent, as Boba Fett's ship lifts off the landing pad and swiftly rises into the sweet-smelling clouds, with Han Solo, frozen in carbonite, secure in the cargo hold. For a moment, they just stare. Then Leia says, I guess our best bet now is the Millennium Falcon.
Right,
Lando agrees, with renewed hope.
She's the fastest ship in the galaxy.
Leia, Chewie, and C-3PO all shake their heads. Lesson Kai. Prepare yourself. Get yourself into a comfortable sitting position. It can be in a chair or on the floor. Get a timer or ask someone to time you. You are going to meditate for 3 minutes. This is the longest I have asked you to meditate. It will not be easy. You will not be able to keep your mind still the whole time. But whenever your mind starts to wander, breathe deeply and think of that thin silver thread of breath going in your nose, to the bottom of your belly, and out again. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't be afraid that you will fail. Just relax and sit, and let your thoughts wander away from you, like sheep into a distant field. When you've meditated for 3 minutes, open your eyes. Smile. You have peace. You have compassion. You have patience. And therefore, you have strength. Which is good, because you're going to need it.
Chapter 27.
You've lost Leia and the rest of them, and R2 has lost you. You pad through the white, shimmering corridors. You let your friends slide from your mind. Vader is near. He's the one you must focus on now. You come to an elevating pad, set back in a recessed alcove. There is a button on the wall. You step onto the pad and push the button. You are being drawn forward. You are not choosing anymore. You are not in control. The pad is rising now, bringing you into a new room. A room unlike the sterilized white corridors of the rest of the mining complex. The black walls are barely lit, and where they are, it is with winking red lights, while a violet glow suffuses the floor. Cold mist drifts across the cavernous space. But there is something colder here than the mist. You hear breathing. Deep, rhythmic, metallic. You look up. There is a dark flight of stairs. At its head stands a great shadow. With a helmet shimmering in the red and violet industrial dusk, and a black cape swaying gently by the shadow's feet. It is Vader, as you knew it would be. His voice is as soft as a lullaby, as sudden as a sword.
You are not a Jedi.
It is not what you expected him to say. You don't know what you expected, but not that. He sounds almost disappointed in you. He is still speaking.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi. Not yet.
You resist the urge to respond, to tell him what you've done and what you intend to do. Instead, you simply ignite your lightsaber. It glows blue in the darkness.
I have not seen that blade in a long time.
You grip it more tightly. It was my father's, he says.
I remember.
And then he ignites his, an infernal red. You walk toward one another. You up the stairs, him down. Your mind drifts to the cave on Dagobah. There, fear defeated you. That will not happen again. You think of balancing on your hands, with Yoda sitting on your feet. You think of running through the forest, knowing the good wood from the bad, the strong vines from the weak. You think of leading a raging Elephoth back to her child. In those times, you were strong, despite your fatigue, despite the pain, despite your fear. You take a deep breath and return to that place. You are but a sword's length away from the greatest weapon in the galaxy, and yet you will not be afraid. You sweep your blade forward. Vader repels the blow without effort. You thrust again. He parries your sword away, steps down the stairs into the side, and sends a searing swipe at your head. But you knew he would. You saw it, a fraction of a second before it happened. You duck, and Vader's blade cuts an electrical wire, burying you in a cascade of sparks. You slide out of his reach.
You have learned much, young one.
You lunge at him again and again. He falls back, parrying in both blows, but not quite so effortlessly this time. You'll find I'm full of surprises, you say. Just as you do, Vader swings his blade. You move to the side, above him on the stairs. He is slower than you expected. And Vader punches your sword hand with his fist. Your lightsaber hurtles through the air and clatters to the bottom of the staircase, far out of reach. You turn back to Vader. Fear has returned to your chest. Behind his mask, you can sense him, almost smiling. He steps forward. And then, you are flipping backward through the air. You land on your feet, reach out, and can sense that your lightsaber is lying some 10 meters away. But what is 10 meters? Just the Force in different form. Vader charges down the stairs. You call to your lightsaber, and it flies to your hand. It merely needed to trade places with the part of the Force that you were holding, the part that looked like empty air. Vader is upon you. You duck and roll and rise to your feet, facing him, sword ignited and ready. Vader speaks.
Your destiny lies with me, Skywalker. Obi-Wan knew this to be true.
No! You shout, a little louder than you intended. Why did you shout? Suddenly, Vader lunges at you. You step back, and there is no floor beneath you. You are falling. You hit the ground. He distracted you, confused you. You felt fear and not the space behind you.
All too easy,
Vader murmurs. He is adjusting knobs on an interface above, and suddenly it is cold. Very, very cold.
Perhaps you're not as strong as the Emperor thought.
Then you are flying upward. Yes, flying. You never knew you could. But you can. You are. Freezing carbon gas is filling the pit, but you are above it now, perched on a pipe attached to the ceiling. Vader looks down, and then up at you.
Impressive,
he says. Is there a smile in his voice? You drop to a platform opposite Vader and raise your lightsaber. Vader raises his to meet it.
Obi-Wan has taught you well. You have controlled your fear. Now, release your anger.
And you feel it. Anger coursing through you. Anger at this man. This Sith who killed your father. Who killed your master. Who taunts you one moment and praises you the next as if he were...
Yes,
Vader calls to you.
Only your hatred can destroy me.
You swing at him with all your might. He blocks, stepping back. You swing again and again, knocking him backward. You are trying to control your anger, but you are not succeeding. It is controlling you. Vader is blocking and blocking, but your attack is furious, relentless, blinding. He steps back and falls. You stare. He has disappeared into the gloom. The room has holes in it, it turns out. Holes that disappear into a great black mess of pipes. They must lead, you figure, to the central reactor of the mining colony. You switch off your lightsaber, hook it to your belt, and take a long, slow breath. Then, you follow Vader into the darkness. You are walking through a tunnel. You see nothing, but you can feel the shape of the space, the Force, taking the form of a tube, you walking through it. Vader is not here. You press on. You emerge into a cluttered, dark corridor. Large windows, giving out onto the central reactor core, shed a very dim light. You reach out with your senses. Vader is here, but he is avoiding you, muddying the Force around you. A pang of fear slaps your heart. He is stronger than you are. And that's when it hits you, like a barn being thrown by a sandstorm, right into your body. You fall, then rise again, throbbing with pain. A giant piece of machinery has clattered to the floor beside you. You turn to look where it came from, and another crashes into your head. You are on your knees. You raise your lightsaber to protect yourself, but the metal objects are coming too fast. Vader is detaching them from walls, lifting them from the floor, and hurling them at you. You can't see them. You can't sense them. Vader has muddied the Force too much. You are bleeding. You are reeling. You are losing. And that's when the biggest one hits you, and you are flying through one of the large windows, glass shattering around you like rain in a storm. Into the reactor shaft. There is nothing below you. Nothing for half a kilometer or more. Time has slowed, which is not necessarily good, because it is merely giving you time to realize that you are falling to your death. Vader has killed you. And then, as you fall, you realize that there is a gantry platform, a long, thin steel catwalk, very near you. You inhale a long, silvery breath. You reach out. You are falling, but your hand touches steel. You grab the steel. Your body snaps like a fish at the end of a line, but your hand is still gripping the steel. Below you, the reactor core descends into oblivion. Wind is whipping at your face. You smell your own sweat, and your legs are swinging over the abyss. You kick at the air, but cannot raise yourself to the platform. Fear is overpowering you now. You look down and back up. Vader has appeared at the end of the gantry. Towering, enormous, dark. He is walking toward you. His steps echo like the ticking of an enormous clock. You manage to pull yourself up onto the gantry. You climb to your feet, which takes no less effort than climbing a mountain. You ignite your sword. One last stand, you tell yourself. You can beat him. You try to feel calm, but you are merely trying, so you do not feel calm. Not at all. Maybe you should listen to Vader. Maybe you should let your anger out. Give in to it. Oh, but you can't even do that. All you feel is fear. His footsteps on the metal are an enormous clock that is ticking down the seconds to the end of the world. He strides towards you. Dark, steady, familiar. Without warning, you leap at him, your feet leaving the ground entirely, your lightsaber leading like a lance. He parries. You land on your feet and instantly thrust. You smell flesh being burnt. Gas is hissing somewhere. You stare. Vader stops and looks down. You have hit him on the right arm. You have wounded him. You feel surprised, triumphant. You are a great warrior. You have done the impossible. You have wounded Darth Vader. You are a Jedi. You have become a Jedi. Ah! His sword blazes through the air and cuts your right hand from your arm. The pain is blinding, but it is instantly eclipsed by your fear. For as you watch the most surreal sight you have ever seen, your own hand tumbling away from you into the reactor core, you see tumbling with it your lightsaber. And now the pain and the fear are one. And they are greater than you. Much greater. You scramble away from Vader toward the opposite end of the platform. His voice is calm, knowing.
There is no escape, Luke.
Frantically, you scramble farther away. Suddenly, your legs slip off the thin, cross-hatched metal of the gantry. Your stomach hits the platform, knocking the wind from you. You cannot breathe. You are dangling over the abyss again. The wind is rushing by you, pulling you down. You are trying to breathe. Vader steadily, slowly advances.
It is useless to resist.
Your one hand is coated with sweat. It is slick. The steel rod is slipping from your grip. Your other arm, sealed with black, burnt flesh, waves out over nothingness. Your breath has returned. It is like little silverfish darting away from a shark.
Don't let yourself be destroyed as Obi-Wan did.
Vader's black helm shimmers in the dim light of the reactor core. His cape sways softly, like silk, with each step he takes.
Do not believe the Jedi lies. There is no life after death. There is only death.
Behind his mask, he is smiling. He must be. You are tired. So tired. Vader is no more than a meter away. You try to inch farther from him, but there is nowhere to go. Reactor core yawns below you. Suddenly, Vader's voice sounds softer.
Don't make me destroy you, Luke. You don't understand your importance. You have only begun to realize your power.
Your hand is slipping. Fear has taken complete possession of you. There is nothing left inside you but fear.
If only you knew the power of the dark side,
Vader says. And looking up at his black mask, his shining eyes, you believe him. He has defeated you. Utterly. Where is Ben, you think? Why is no one helping me?
Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this horrible war. We can bring order to the galaxy.
With one last gasp of strength, you shout, I'll never join you. But your voice sounds weak in your ears, like a petulant child's.
Join me, Luke Skywalker.
You are trying not to listen to him. Where is Ben? Why is no one on your side?
Obi-Wan never told you what became of your father.
Your father? Where is he? Rage rises in your chest. Ben told me enough, you scream. He told me you killed him! And then, there is a sudden silence in the chamber. And you feel something. Something you have felt before. You try not to, but there it is. You attempt to hide from it. You don't want to know. But Vader will not let you hide.
No,
says Vader. He will tell you.
I am your father.
Silence. No, you say. And then you scream it. No! That's not true! It's not! But you're not arguing with Vader. You are arguing with yourself.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Panic is taking over. You cannot see. You cannot feel the Force. You are screaming.
Luke, you can destroy the Emperor. He has in fact foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
You fall quiet. You open your eyes. Vader has reached out his hand to you.
Come with me. It is the only way.
And suddenly, you are calm. As if a great wave had towered over you and broken, and you were tossed within it. But it is calmed, been pulled out to sea, and you are left standing on the sand. You want to be with your father. More than anything in the universe, this is what you want. It's what you've always wanted. But Vader is not your father. Not anymore. You let go of the platform and fall into the abyss. Leia, Lando, R2-D2, and Chewbacca, with C-3PO still fastened to his back, emerge onto the landing platform. The Millennium Falcon awaits, framed by the lurid, candy-colored sky. Sweet gases perfume the air.
She should be ready to go, Lando says, gazing at his old ship.
Suddenly, blaster fire erupts behind them.
Go!
He shouts.
I'll cover you.
But Leia has already crouched beside him, and together they return the stormtroopers' fire with a ferocious volley of their own. Chewie sprints for the ship, activates the gangway, and then runs up it. C-3PO still buckled to his big, hairy back.
Ow!
C-3PO shouts, his head slamming into the doorframe.
Ow, again! Bend down, you oversized toupee!
Chewie bends over, gets inside, and makes his way into the cockpit, with R2 following close behind. Leia and Lando let loose one more fiery round, pinning the stormtroopers back behind the platform doors. Come on! Leia shouts. They disappear up the gangway, and before the stormtroopers can get off another shot, the Falcon is skybound. You fall, and fall, and fall. Then you hit the wall of the reactor core. A garbage chute opens, meant to keep the core clear of detritus. You are sucked in. Barely conscious, you slide through a long chute. Then the chute drops away. You are falling again. And the presence of Vader, of your father, your former father, is fading. You are moving very fast. And now the air is suddenly cold and faintly sweet. And the light is pink and yellow and orange, like sunset. Without thinking, you reach out and grab onto a metal rod. It bends and holds. You are no longer falling. You wrap your legs around the rod and close your eyes. Below you, 1,000 meters of gas go floating by. Below that, the boiling surface of Bespin bubbles at a steady 6,000 degrees. You hold on to the metal rod and try not to pass out. The Falcon is speeding into the upper atmosphere. The pink of the sky is fading to navy. Ahead of the ship, there is black, with stars winking welcomely. And out there, somewhere, is Han. Your legs are shaking uncontrollably. Your one hand is gripping the cold steel of the metal rod, a weather vane. But your hand is sweaty, and you're losing your grip. Wind is whipping your face, rocking the flimsy metal vane back and forth. You are framed by the vast expanse of pink Bespin sky. You glance down again. To fall is to die, for certain. You try to summon the Force to accomplish what you don't even know, but you are spent. Your whole body trembles. There's nothing left. You cannot feel the Force. You can't even feel your feet as they slide farther and farther down the weather vane. Ben! You scream. Ben! It's like calling for your father, the one who acted like your father, who protected you when you needed protecting, who taught you when you needed guidance. Ben! But he does not answer. You are alone. And then, as your single hand begins to lose its grip, you feel something. No, someone. Another being who is strong with the Force. You feel this person shining through the field of the Force, like a candle in a dark room. And it is close to you. She is close to you. Leia? You mutter. How did you never feel it before? Leia! And then you hear, Luke. Lesson Sigh, a long distance call. The Force is reality. Everything, from electrons to planets, is made up of the Force. This is why, if you understand it and have trained yourself, you can sense what you cannot see. You can move what you cannot touch. You can speak with those you cannot hear. Do that now. Close your eyes. Meditate for a little while. Then think of someone who is not nearby. Someone who is in another room. Or another country. Or maybe not a part of this world anymore. Reach out to him or her with your mind. Let your thoughts trace their way through the Force. Around the doorframe. Over the ocean. Past the gateway of life. To wherever this person is. Put yourself beside this person. Speak to her. Smile at him. Put your hand in hers. If you are one with the Force, he will hear you. Really, she is not far away.
Chapter 28. Chewbacca is steering the Falcon. Lando is monitoring readouts, and Leia is in the co-pilot's chair. She is staring straight ahead, but she is not seeing, nor hearing,
She is feeling. Feeling your voice. Leia, you think. Luke, she whispers. Suddenly, Leia spins to Lando. We have to go back.
Back? He exclaims.
Agrees Chewie. Luke needs us. I can sense it.
Princess, Lando begins. Vader is back there, and...
Luke needs us.
But...
A deep growl emanates from Chewbacca. Both Leia and Lando look at him. He has already begun to turn the ship around.
Leia, you call. Leia!
The pink and orange sky is going black. Not because night is falling, because you can't see. Your hand is too wet to hold on. Your legs have given up. And then, there it is, zooming through the atmosphere. The Falcon. You almost let go right then, with relief, with exhaustion. But you wait. The ship is under you. The top hatch opens. The dashing man from the mining colony is there, with Chewie and Leia. You let go. On the bridge of the Star Destroyer orbiting the planet of Bespin, Darth Vader watches the monitoring screen. A small, disc-like spaceship emerges from the planet's pastel-colored ozone and enters space.
The Falcon is in range, Lord Vader, Admiral Piet announces.
And you've disabled the hyperdrive?
Yes, my lord, as you instructed.
Good.
Okay, Lando shouts, as Bespin fades behind them. Now let's get out of here.
He has deposited you on a bed in the medical bay. You are, for the time being, useless. Chewbacca is flipping switches all over the cockpit. Leia is staring through the windscreen at the lurking Star Destroyer.
Ready, Chewie?
Chewbacca roars.
Okay, Lando says. Punch it!
Chewbacca pulls down on the hyperdrive lever.
And nothing.
Leia throws up her hands.
This ship!
They fixed it!
Lando cries.
They told me they fixed it! It's not my fault!
On the Imperial Star Destroyer, Vader turns to the Admiral.
Prepare your troops to board. Set your weapons to stun.
Very good, my lord.
Chewbacca and Lando run through the ship, checking valves and adjusting meters.
What is it? What's gone wrong?
Lando shouts. Chewbacca howls in frustration. In the medical bay, your eyes are closed, your body limp. The pain in your right arm is a dull, steady throb. You are barely conscious. And then you hear a voice, deep and resonant, and almost pleading.
Luke.
Your eyes open. Your skin tingles. Father, you say.
Son, come with me.
You are fighting back tears.
Son.
The word you've always longed to hear. At last.
Son.
Vader whispers. And you can tell he means it. In another part of the ship, R2-D2 is welding C-3PO's legs back onto his torso. C-3PO is not pleased.
Well, I know I've looked better. What do you expect? What do you mean you know why we're not going to hyperspace?
R2 finishes connecting the right leg and starts on the left.
The computer on Bespin told you. You know you can't trust strange computers. And who knows what kind of diseases you have now? You should be wearing gloves while you're working on me.
Chewbacca runs by, howling, banging a wrench against random control boards. Suddenly, R2 leaves C-3PO lying on the floor, partially reassembled, and rolls over to a nearby port. He inserts his communicator.
What are you doing? Come back here and put my other leg on this instant! What do you know about fixing hyperdrives? I'm lying here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur.
In the cockpit, Lando and Leia watch helplessly as they are pulled into the belly of the enormous Star Destroyer. Chewbacca roars and bangs on some more panels. And then, the stars start to stretch, as if they're being pulled apart from each end. Lando's and Leia's eyes go wide. Chewbacca howls. Suddenly, they are all flying across the cockpit. R2-D2 slides wildly back over the floor. And C-3PO is shouting,
"You did it! Oh, R2, you did it! You did it!"
In the Star Destroyer, Darth Vader sees the Millennium Falcon suddenly disappear into infinity. He turns away from the monitor. Admiral Piette loosens his collar and begins unconsciously to massage his throat. But the Dark Lord takes one final glance at empty space, and then he turns away, his head bowed. Not in anger, in sadness. Lesson Omega, the final test. Okay, my young pupil, this is it, my last lesson for you. So far, you have done well, very well. But tests are not passed in a moment. Succeeding once is not success at all. So tomorrow, take a minute before you go to school or work or wherever you go and meditate. Just for 1 minute. Breathe. Then, when you're at school or work or wherever and you see your classmates or colleagues, think about how they, too, are a part of the Force. They are swarms of particles, nearly identical to you, just separated by a less densely occupied part of the Force. And if someone says something you do not like, maybe it is mean or stupid or petty, do not say anything in return. Just realize that that person is being influenced by the dark side, and that you don't have to be. And if tomorrow you see someone sitting alone or needing defense or even just needing a smile, help that person out. Even if it makes you look weird or uncool. Remember, Jedi have a higher calling than cool. Your penultimate test is to live for one full day in harmony with the Force. Your ultimate test is to live the next day and the day after and the day after that in harmony with the Force as well. That is not just your ultimate test. It is the ultimate test. There is nothing more to being a Jedi Master. Oh, well, there are the backflips and lightsabers, I guess. But those will come. Eventually. Chapter 29. You are lying in a medical bed aboard a Rebel Star Cruiser. You flex the muscles in your right arm. The mechanical fingers, covered with perfectly convincing silicone skin, flex and stretch exactly as you intend. A medical droid pokes your fingers with a needle, and you wince. Then grin. A voice comes over the comlink next to the bed. It's Lando.
Luke, we're ready for takeoff.
Good luck, Lando, you reply. Through the speaker, you hear Chewie yodel. You too, Chewie, you add.
When we find Jabba and that bounty hunter, we'll contact you.
You agree. I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine. Then you stand up, stretch, and make your way from the medical center to where Leia is standing by a large window, watching the Falcon move away from its dock. She's been listening to your conversation over the comlink.
We'll find him, Princess,
Lando says.
I promise.
You put your arm around Leia and think about how you saw her. No, felt her. A shining point of light in the great field of the Force. You look at her, but she is staring at the Falcon. R2-D2 rolls up to the window, followed by C-3PO. You follow their gaze. You think of Lando and Chewie, but mostly you think of Han. You speak into the comlink, but when you say it, you are saying it for them all.
Leia and Han, R2 and C-3PO, Lando and Chewie, Ben and Yoda, even Vader. You were thinking of him, too. You inhale and you exhale. And then you say, "May the Force be with you."
A note from author Adam Gidwitz. Are you surprised that I've written this book? I may seem a strange choice to retell The Empire Strikes Back. I am known where I am known at all for fairy tales, particularly the dark, scary kind. I started working on fairy tales in 2008. I was a substitute librarian at a school in Brooklyn, and I picked up a book of Grimm's tales to read to a class of second graders. They were entertained, enthralled, enriched, and to be honest, slightly traumatized. Inspired by this experience, I wrote my first novel, A Tale Dark and Grim, which tells the true story of Hansel and Gretel by retelling many of the scarier, weirder, less known Grimm tales. My next two books, In a Glass Grimly and The Grim Conclusion, follow a similar model. What do I know then about The Empire Strikes Back? More than I thought, it turns out. You may be aware that George Lucas always thought of Star Wars as a fairy tale. He said as much at a banquet honoring the great scholar of mythology, Joseph Campbell. I set out to write a children's film. I had an idea of doing a modern fairy tale. Later, in an interview with Bill Moyers for the PBS series The Power of Myth, Lucas said about Star Wars, "If it's a tool that can be used to make old stories be new and relate to younger people, that's what the whole point was." Well, that's what I was trying to do with Grimm's fairy tales, to make the old stories new, to help younger people see the brilliance, the terror, the hilarity, and the beauty of those classic tales. Lucas also said that he was telling an old myth in a new way, that he was localizing it for the end of the millennium. And now I have the extreme privilege of taking what I wholeheartedly believe is the greatest modern fairy tale and retelling it in book form, and in doing so, localizing it for the young people of our new millennium. People sometimes complain that Luke Skywalker is not much of a character. He does not brim with personality as Han Solo and Princess Leia do. He is a little bland, a little empty, which is just as it should be. The hero of a fairy tale must be empty. What do we know of Cinderella except that she has to work in the ashes and her family is mean to her? Do we know her sense of humor? Her taste in literature? Her opinions on the politics of her kingdom? Of course not. That would ruin the story. Because the point of Cinderella is that we can put ourselves in her shoes, which, according to the Brothers Grimm, were made of gold, not glass. We all feel like Cinderella sometimes, mistreated, unappreciated, with great potential that is yet to be recognized. Her story has endured for so long and in so many different cultures exactly for that reason, because she is so universal, so universally empty. Many modern heroes are products of that mold. Huckleberry Finn isn't. You'd know him if you met him, even if he didn't tell you his name. But Harry Potter is. He doesn't have a sharply drawn personality the way Ron and Hermione do. What do we know about Harry? That he's brave? That he cares for his friends? Frodo Baggins is another example. We know Samwise well. Even Bilbo is an idiosyncratic little hero, bobbing from breakfast to elevenses with a grumpy, frumpy, good-willed reluctance. Frodo has some of that, but not much. Mostly, he's brave and good. These heroes are not full characters. They are empty, intentionally so. They are avatars for the reader. They are empty so we can inhabit them, so we can do their deeds, live their lives, and learn their lessons. Luke is such a character, empty as a pair of shoes. In his Power of Myth series, Bill Moyers said to George Lucas, "I hear so many young people today
talk about a world that is emptied of heroism, and there are no more heroic things to do. Lucas responded, "Everybody has a choice of being a hero or not being a hero every day of their lives. I wrote this book to give you that choice. I've measured those shoes just for you. Will you put them on?" This is Mark Thompson. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back. So You Want to Be a Jedi? An original retelling of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back by Adam Gidwitz. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back, So You Want to Be a Jedi? Is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007. Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.